The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
What of you guys now? What of these people at the ice cream? What of the choir? Ready for the word. Glory to God. So I've been looking at the ministry of Moses. And I've been trying to answer one question. What exactly produced a man like Moses? What produced a man that carried that kind of grace? That kind of sign? That kind of miracle working ability? But I've shown you, for instance, it wasn't just a sovereign act of God. It was a sovereign choice of God, quite all right. But there was something God did to Moses that I believe that if he does to anybody, the man will have the same results. And we've seen that, number one, God gave Moses a revelation. God first gave Moses a revelation of the fact that his presence will always be with him. Secondly, we saw that God gave Moses a revelation of himself as the I am. Thirdly, we see that God gave Moses a revelation of himself as the God of Abraham. Remember that? Isaac and Jacob. Those revelations were the things that strengthened Moses. That even helped him know what to expect. Are you following me? So let's go back to Genesis, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 9. So he told him, I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, I am the God of Jacob. So, we're looking at that extensively yesterday. That you need godly patterns. Were you here yesterday? Godly patterns that God will set before you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's a correction the Lord said I should give. I just remember. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's not a correction, but it just came very strongly in my spirit. Please, no matter how many miracles. Were you here last night? No matter how many miracles we see, no matter how many miracles we see and how similar those miracles look, never get used to those things. I heard it from earlier this morning. Never. Do you know how many deaf ears I've seen open? And I'm excited at every one of them. Never get used to those things. Never get used to even headache disappearing. Never get used to surgeries conducted supernaturally. Those things are not normal. The fact that you're in a church where they happen often doesn't mean you should get used to them. Are you following me? There are churches that see those things once in a year. So the fact that you're in a church where these things happen often should never make you get used to them. So I'm just warning you, never get used to those happenings. Right? You should still remain, every time God works a miracle, you should still be in awe. Are you following me? You should still be in awe. You should still be amazed are the things that God is doing. Even if the miracles look the same. Even in your own life. Never get used to them. You know, one of the ways to show that you're not getting used to these things, I'll tell you two things. Number one, one of the ways to show you're not getting used to these things is if those miracles happen for you, you must testify excitedly. Testimony is the last process in miracle working. Learn to testify. Oh, they finished praying for me. I got a healing. My back's not paining me. And it's just dead. Don't get used to it. Don't get used to it. I didn't have money and they prayed. I just got it. Just a 95 care that I got. Don't get used to it. Are you following what I'm saying now? Never get used to miracles. Never. Always stay in awe of what God is doing. And that's one of the things. I'll tell you a very big secret. Check every big miracle worker you know. If you go to their meetings, when any miracle happens, you see how they celebrate, how they shout. It is that, because they are still in awe of those things, that's why they keep happening. If you get used to them, you commonize them. Once you commonize them, it won't happen again. I get what I'm saying? So never get used to them, even your own ministry. Then you, when it happens, you never get used to them. One of the ways is you testify, not testify casually, excitedly. Oh, glory to God. I used to have this, it's gone. Testify. Send your testimonies. Number three thing you do to make sure you don't get used to them is
when it happens for someone, celebrate it. Listen, don't say, somebody say, I used to have a pain in my ear. It just disappeared. You say, oh, hallelujah. Celebrate it. Except you can do it. Can you disappear pain in somebody's ear? It's only the power of God that can do that. So when it happens, celebrate it. Never get used to them. That's why I love the kind of atmosphere we had yesterday, those kind of ecstasy. It should remain like that. It should remain like that. Are you following what I'm saying now? And when you share with the people, it should remain like that. Be joyful when these things are happening. Once you remain in awe of them, you keep yourself in the zone where it can keep happening. Is that okay? Okay, let's go back to Moses. So Moses was such a man. God taught him, for instance, that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That he always pointed him to godly patterns. So as Moses did his ministry, his focus was on what the Lord did for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Knowing that the Lord that did those things can deliver on his promise. And that's very important. So I won't go further into that. So that is the. So let's see Exodus chapter 3 verse 9. Let's read verse 9 together if you are there. Are you there? Let's go together. Now therefore, behold, the cry of children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Are you reading? Verse 10, let's go. And I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel. So the next thing we see, apart from after God gave Moses a revelation, gave him revelations and all of that, the Lord gave him an assignment. And this is so important. I'll tell you how Moses became powerful. God said, I'm sending you to deliver Israel out of Egypt. He gave him an assignment. He gave him what to do. If you go all the way down to verse 16, right? Verse 16, go and gather the elders of Israel and sung to them. So he gave him the assignment. Told him what to do. But look at the interesting thing. It might sound so simple that God gave Moses an assignment. But all the mighty works that Moses did, we are tied to that assignment. In other words, and I'm going to tell you a big secret this morning. If Moses never accepted those assignments, those mighty works would not have followed. Because I've shown you, God does not work miracles for show. So God gave Moses an assignment and brought him to a point where he accepted that assignment. Because if he never accepted the assignment, if he rejects the assignment, right, those things will not happen. If Moses never carried Israel and they got to the Red Sea and needed to cross the Red Sea, the Red Sea would have never divided. And so the signs and wonders you find in the ministry of Moses, we are tied to an assignment that God has given him. Are you following me? See, my notes, I said it was so important that he accepted that assignment, because the signs you are tied to the assignment. The signs you are tied to the assignment. The signs you are tied to the assignment. The miracles, that's why some of you will see why many people don't see mighty miracles in their life is simply because they don't need it. Why you've never raised a dead person? Because you actually don't need it. Now, the thing that made Moses who he was because God gave him a great assignment. And he accepted that great assignment. That great assignment now necessitated great miracles. Are you following me this morning? So if Moses didn't have such an assignment, he wouldn't have had such miracles. Because in the first place, he wouldn't have needed such miracles. I'll show you something. Exodus chapter 4. Let me show you. Exodus 4. And Moses answered. Now, I'm going to show you why God gave Moses mighty miracles. And Moses said to the Lord, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared to thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it to the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses left before it. And the Lord said to Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and took it by the tail, and caught it, and it became what? A rod. So, and see the next verse. Read with me, everybody. That what? That what? That they may believe that the Lord God of the fathers had appeared unto thee. So the reason Moses needed those signs was because he had an assignment. You know, the first is, I'll give you two reasons why Moses had great miracles in his ministry. One, because the people that God was sending him to, the Israelites had been in slavery all their lives. Now, let me ask you, how long did Israel stay in Egypt? How long did they stay in Egypt? How many years? 400 plus. What does that tell you? The generation that came into Egypt had died. The next generation had died. The next one had died. So these ones that he was talking to, they've not known any other life outside Egypt. Are you following what I'm saying? They've not known, they don't know anything about God. And so because of the kind of people he was being sent to, he knew they wouldn't believe him. In fact, he tried to save them 40 years ago. And they fought him. Are you following me, friends? He knew they wouldn't believe him. He was so sure they wouldn't believe him. So God said, well, you are right. So what do we do now? Throw your rod on the ground. He threw it down. It became a snake. He said, pick it up. It turned to rod. He said, when you go to those guys, walk this miracle before them, that they may believe the Lord sent you. Signs make you believable. Signs make you followable. Which is why if you're a man that will see great miracles after this meeting in your ministry, you must accept the assignments that God is giving you. People who run away from God's assignments will not be men of miracles, because God does not work miracles for show. The miracles you see around my ministry is because I'm doing the work and there are sick people that I have to minister to. So if Moses had said, I don't want to do anything, I'm not doing, there will be no need for those miracles. So the first reason we see that the Lord gave Moses miracles is because he said the people will not believe me. In fact, go further. After he did that, see the next thing. And he said unto him, verse 6, furthermore, put now thy hand into thy bosom. So he put his hand in his bosom, that's in his chest. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, the hand was leprous. Are you following me now? Now see the next verse. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand again into his bosom and brought it out. And behold, it was torn as the other flesh. So Moses turned leprous and got healed at the moment. And God told him, when you get to those guys, walk this miracle before them. So when they say, when you tell them, God wants to deliver your people, they will say, we don't agree with you. He told them, first thing, throw your rod on the ground. It will turn to snake. Pick it up. It will turn to rod. Next, put your hand in here. It will become leprous. Bring it out. He said, when they see that, they will believe the Lord sent you. So if Moses has said, I'm not going, then there will be no need for those signs. Point is this. The reason many of you have not started seeing as much as God wants you to see is because the things that God has been instructing you to do, you are running away from it. And once you run away from God's assignment, you are running away from your manifestation. Are you following me this morning? So God gave us an assignment that he carried. And I'm saying this seriously this morning because this is why many of us have not walked into all that God has for us. That's why we've not walked into all that God has for us. Hallelujah. So it was important he accepted it. So if Moses wouldn't do the work, then there will be no need for all those miracles. And I want to pause to say that the Lord is sending us to an interesting generation. Just like the generation that Moses was sent to. These guys didn't know the Lord. They didn't even care about him. They've been all their lives in bondage. All their lives. All their lives they've been in bondage. And that's our generation today. We have people ravaged by atheism. People ravaged by crazy ideas. People want to go back to idolatry. People who have lost faith in the church. Who have even lost faith in religion generally. Now, if we are going to serve that generation, then we must go with signs. The men and women that will agree to go for the Lord, he will give them signs. Now, the men and women who are in church, praying every day, who will not agree to go, we have no manifestation. As important as prayer is, prayer makes power available. That is the truth. But see, if you do not go, you will not see any sign. Let me tell you something. I've said this many times. The reason I began to see miracles very early in my walk with God was because I started my walk with God with missions. Missions. I started going into shrines very early. As at 17 years, I was already going to shrines to preach native doctors. And it was because I was doing that work that those signs followed. Because I can tell you the truth. People say, you know, you need prayer. I say, prayer is important. But you know, those days, I wasn't even praying as much. I was just a new convert. I've not even learned how to pray for long. I've not even learned how to pray for 3 hours or 4 hours. I've not learned how to. But I just know that if I get there, because I was doing the work, because God will not send you without backing you up. So you running away from the call of God for your life, from the assignment God is putting on your hand, when he says go preach or run away from it, you are running away from what from the miracles that are to follow you. Miracles follow people that go. Go into the world. Miracles follow goers. And I'm going to say to some of you, if there's any assignment that God is giving you, if there's any responsibility he's giving you, please take it up. If you're in your environment, the Lord is saying, begin to reach out to these guys. Please take it up. It is in taking that thing up that you begin to see mighty miracles following your ministry. Minus that, you will see nothing. You will see nothing. You can only wish. Why do you think every time we talk about mighty miracles, you see us mention men of God, one man of God after another man of God? It's not because they are special as it were. It is because they accepted their own assignment. The signs that are to follow you are tied to the assignments that God has given you. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you know if you have a healing grace, I want you to heal the sick now, but you don't ever go to the hospital to pray for the sick, you will never heal anybody. So the men and women who have this habit of escaping, some of you pray, God puts pictures in your head. Let me give an example. I when I was in a suit, I had great miracles. So I was very popular in this. I was popular by science. And it was a big deal then. Pastor, who is this young guy? One guy told me the first time I saw you, I was like, where did this guy come out from? But I was very, very slim. If I let me tell you, the first meeting that introduced me to the school, first meeting, I had 2 meetings, one on Friday, on Wednesday, another one on Friday. On Wednesday, I preached. It was a smaller meeting. The Friday night was the bigger meeting. And I had invited a guest minister. And on that day, the guest minister, evening, he disappointed. He wasn't coming. And the hall was already packed. I get the point. And I said, fine. And I took my mic and went up to the stage. The hall where I did the meeting had staircase. It was built like a stadium. Everyone was packed down. People were flying from the top of the staircase down by the anointing. They had never seen anything like that before. Now, I wasn't prepared for the night. Or maybe I was. But I didn't like pray specially because I didn't even know I was preaching that night. I feel I'm talking about miracles, healings, because in the assignment there is a backing. If you will accept what God is putting in your hand in your school, in your environment, you will see what God will do. Why have you never raised a dead person? Because you've never been in a situation where somebody died and you have to raise the person. I feel I'm saying now. If you agree to get on missions and you're that place, and then, you know, if you go on missions and you go to preach, you know, the first day, Pastor Chidi, where's Pastor Chidi? The first day they raised a dead person. They came to that place for evangelism. And they told them that, a lady, right? The lady was sick. And they said, okay, let us pray. I think they went, is that when you went in to pray? The girl now died. So what will you do at that point? Look for the glorious window. So they started praying. They prayed and prayed and prayed. The girl didn't come back. So when they prayed to a point, the family came and knocked on the door and said, fine, we've accepted our faith. Give us our dead girl. Let us bury. People had gathered. They were not pleading with the family. Just give us more time. Please give us more time. Please, they kept praying. They locked everywhere. They probably, at the time, they now got them banging on the door. Open this and give us our girl. Let us bury. Let me tell you, if you are not on the go, you won't see miracles because you don't need it. You want to be a man of great signs and wonders. Be like Moses. The signs he walked were tied to the assignment he was given. So every time we say it's time for evangelism, it's time for special missions, it's time for this, that's an invitation to manifest supernatural, which will never manifest in your bedroom. So they prayed that day and prayed that day. Until how long did you guys pray? Over 4 hours. Not because they like prayer, but they couldn't leave that room. The shame won't let them leave the room. How will you leave the room? People have gathered outside to bury the dead. And you can say, I pray. You just come out and say, good evening, everybody. How will you start? And eventually the girl came back to life. Those kind of miracles don't happen in your bedroom. It is that tied to assignments. Now, for instance, Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish. Why? Because he was doing an assignment. I've had to pray over food many times to multiply, and that's multiplied. Now, you say, why has it not happened to me? You don't need it. Your garden, your house is enough for you. But I've had to pray over food because I've organized meetings where we are attempting to feed people. And the food we bought to feed them, that maybe a night may come, we might buy food and prepare for 200 people. Then we come around that night, we see 350 people. And we just cooked rice for 200. So what do? I'll just get there, put my hands in the name of Jesus. You will be enough. Everybody will eat and we'll be okay. Everybody shout amen as you can share the food. And before we know, everybody has eaten. Everybody is fine. And it's left over. Now I'm talking to you about miracles. That will never happen in your bedroom. All you need for yourself is one cup of garri and you are fine. Or one cup of rice. So why do you need to multiply it? Why will God multiply bread for you? Where one Roban bread is enough for you. So there's no need for God to multiply it. But if you've accepted an assignment where you are, for instance, leading people on a journey, and you get to a point, you have only one bread. Are you following what I'm talking about? And there are 14 people that are with you, and they have to eat that day. That's where you now know that there is my talking power of God. Because at that time, it is now necessary. So, because of the people Moses was being sent to, God gave him miracles. I said again, the miracles are with people that go. Do you know, this is very interesting. The disciples of Jesus stayed with him. All their days with him, they just watched him work miracles. They just watched him. They never performed one. Until around Matthew 9, he now sends them on mission. They came back and said, we even healed the sick. We even raised them. In Matthew 10, they gathered the 70 and sent them. They said, even demons are subject to us in your name. So they could do it all the while. Are you following what I'm saying? But it's with goers. So whatever God has put in your hand, it's time to step into it fully and accept it. Because no matter how much we pray, if we do not go, there will be no need for signs and wonders. The miracles we saw last night, if I didn't organize this meeting, there will be no need for those miracles. Are you following me, friends? That's some of you that Lord is putting into your heart to do a meeting in your community, do a meeting in your street, or can I call your street? Do you know, I've never lived, I'm talking about God's assignment, I've never lived in any lodge as a student, when I was a student, that I didn't start a lodge fellowship. Never. Once I come in, that's the first thing. First thing. I just come in, because the first lodge, I tell you, the first lodge I lived was an interesting lodge. I'm not telling you about that lodge. Very powerful lodge. One, it was big and noisy. Big and noisy. They party every day. They party for no reason. When there's no reason, they just party. So sometimes I come back at night, there's music. I say, what's happening today? I say, this person's birthday. I say, okay. I come back and what's happening today? I say, this person finished the exam. I say, what's wrong with you people? They party every night. Almost every night. You hear noise. And let me even say this to you. If you do not rise and begin to do God's assignment, people can do rubbish around you. Do you know those days, the day I really got pissed, I was in the lodge one day, and this guy had brought this girl, and was sleeping with this girl in the lodge, and they were very loud, making noise all over the place. When they finished, they came and they were hailing the guy. I was saying, yes, yes. So I planned my own. You know, I used to tell you guys a story. So my matric was closed. I was a first year boy. And my people were coming around, you know, to see all these, my CIF leaders and all of that. So they came, some of them passed the night. Some of you were there that night. So they passed the night that day. How many of you? Do you remember? So I now told them, they didn't know why. I told them, you know, I have a burden. I want us to pray. They said, okay. I led them to pray. We pray. At the time, I told them, we are stepping outside to pray. It was in the midnight, sir. And thankfully, there was no light. So they couldn't play their music. So we went from door to door. Shandaraba, shandaraba, kandaraba. It was deliberate. Do you know what happened? After that noise, because we made noise, Jesus. Because they've been making noise every day. I said, today is my turn. After the next day, they called meeting. I came. I said, I want us to know that we came here to read. This is school environment. We came here for learning. They couldn't call my name. But we all know why the meeting was holding. I just stayed very calm. They finished talking. Because they know they wanted to balance, they now said, even all this loud music should now stop. Let's slow down with the music. I said, I didn't say anything. Then I said, we believe in prayers too. But, listen, after they finished, and I said, I have something to say. They said, well, thank God that we are now talking as a lodge. I also think that the prayers disturbed us because we are not all in it together. Let's start meeting every week to pray. I started fellowship in that lodge. Every week. I led many of them to Christ. One of the people I discipled in that place is in the U.S. today with a husband. Doing well, serving the Lord. And it was like that. From that, there's no lodge I've ever stayed. I didn't start a fellowship. Because it is in those happenings, it is in that assignment that you see mighty workings of God. I mean, if you just stay in places, just stay very calm. Why have you never seen a short leg grow out? Because there is no need. Is your leg shorter than the other? No. Is your brother's leg shorter than the other? No. So you don't need it. But if you step out, you meet people that have cases. People that have cases. So we are set to a generation that really needs signs. And until we step out for that assignment, we are not going to see anything happen to us. We're not going to enjoy any miracles. We're not going to see anything happen through us. So the first thing is, God gave him an assignment and he accepted it. That assignment he accepted necessitated those signs that followed him. So God wasn't working signs with Moses to show off. Are you following me, friends? I'll tell you something else. Apart from the fact that he was sent to a difficult people, a difficult nation, another thing that necessitated that the miracles that happened in that land was because he was up against dangerous principalities. You know, one of you don't really know some of these things. Because Moses was not just walking signs for walking sake. There were dangerous principalities that he had to face. Let me show you. Exodus 3 verse 19. So that you will see why. This thing I'm going to say will tell you why. Have you observed that people who pastor around villages, around tough villages, have some more dramatic testimonies? Have you observed this? Yes. That's why people who are afraid to go to tough areas will not see tough results. Are you following me, friends? People who are afraid to go to dangerous areas. Because their ministry is all about going to the tush places, the fine places. Any place that is fine, that is proper, you won't see some kind of results. The people who are in some areas, all they need is mental health counseling. Do you understand what I'm saying now? That's all they need. He said, you know, don't think too much. If you feel so bad, put on your Netflix. Just watch it and you'll just be fine. That's all they need. But then if you want to see raw power, meet raw cases. Let me show you Exodus 3 verse 19. Exodus 3 verse 19. Hear what it says. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders which I will do. So why was he promising to work wonders? Because he knows Pharaoh will say no. Because Moses was going to be up against a dangerous principality. He said, for that reason, I'm going to give you signs and wonders. And let me take you through this very briefly. You know, Moses, when he got to Egypt, Moses walked 10 different, there are 10 plagues in Egypt, right? Right? 10 plagues. What was the first one? What was the first one? Do you know the first one? Say it and own it. What was the first one? Even I turned to blood. Do you know all those miracles, all those signs, there was a reason they happened. And I'm going to tell you why. Because God, again, I'm repeating, God does not work miracles for show. God doesn't raise the dead for show. God doesn't have low self-esteem. He doesn't have to work miracles to prove that he's God. He doesn't. There has to be a need. So God doesn't just do those things. Let me turn night to blood so that you guys will know I'm powerful. Let me bring life. So, no, he wasn't doing that for any careless reason. So first we see the Nile turn to blood. That Egypt had many gods. What I'm talking about is not a special study. If you go online and check for it, you're going to see it. It's a special study. Right? They had many gods. They had a god, for instance, called Kumun. Forget the name. I'm not from there. That particular god was the one that was in charge of River Nile. There's another god called Hapi. H-A-P-I. That was in charge of all the flooding. They believed that it was one that caused flooding. There were gods that guarded that River Nile. That particular Nile turning to blood was a challenge against those gods. To humble those gods. That's what I'm saying. I take it a step further. There was a time frogs took over Egypt. Do you remember that? There is a god called Heket in Egypt that has a frog head. That god is one in charge of, they believe he's one in charge of fertility and birthing and all of that. But it has a frog head. There's another miracle, for instance, where there was lice from the earth all over the place. There's a god called Geb, G-E-B. It's seen as the god of the earth. It is seen as, it is believed those days that the earth was his house. That when he laughs, that is earthquake. That's how the earthquake. It was a very funny nation. But in that was why God had to shake the earth. So, let me tell you how it happened. Because I want to show you why God did that. When Nile turned to blood, what do you think Pharaoh was going to do? Pharaoh was going to reach out to the chief priest of this particular god and control the Nile. And say, stop it! And then they will try and they will fail. So Moses used those miracles to humble every god in Egypt. Are you following me this morning at all? He humbled every god. There is a god called, can I pronounce this now? But it's called, it's known as a fly god. There's another one that has the head of a fly, of a house fly. That's how it looks. There's another god called Hathor. He has a cow head. So when you see that all the cattle died, that god was meant to be the one to protect all those cattle. Are you following what I'm talking about? So those miracles, we are not just show. It's not following me this morning at all. Not just show. So if you do not go to places and do things that will bring you face to face with the devil, there will be no need for those miracles. Are you following me? Yeah. So men who run away from assignments are running away from manifestations. So I'm not against prayer, but let me tell you this. If we like, let us shut down our room and be praying every day, shouting, yeah, revival, nothing is going to happen. Or you are shouting, Lord, load me with power, load me, load me, load me. As deeper. Load me, load me, load me, load me. After all those loading, then the next day you carry your bag and you now go to school and continue doing your lectures. Nothing. No assignment done. The next prayer meeting, you say, Lord, roast me, roast me, roast me, roast me with fire, roast me with fire. Then you now become Kwamo.
Then after that, you carry your bag, you go out again and keep going to school. The next problem is, what do we pray? Drown me, drown me, drown me. I've heard those kind of prayers. Drown me in your river of your anointing, in the river of your glory. Then after that, you carry up. Let me, nothing is going to happen. You will drown. And nothing will happen. It is there in the field. That's why next day will be for signs and wonders, man. Because you are going to be going and going and going. Going and going and going. So Moses had to deal with those gods. You know, there's a god called Sekhmet. That was the god that a goddess, in charge of epidemics and all of that. There's a god called Serapis, in charge of healing. It is believed that he heals. So when boils and diseases came out on the skins of the Egyptians, they consulted the god, the chief priest of that god. He couldn't do anything. So by the time Moses was done with all the signs in Israel, all the gods in Israel were humbled. They knew that I am came to them. Are you following what I'm saying now? So God wasn't just careless with how he was saying, go do this, go do this. He was deliberate. He was deliberate. There's a god called Serapia also. They believe that he's the god that protects the land from locusts. You know locusts that invade farms. But then in Egypt, Moses prayed and locusts invaded all their farms. Proving to that god that it is nonsense. So all those gods in Egypt, every territory that they controlled, Jehovah stepped into all those territories through Moses. Are you following me this morning at all? All those territories to show them that, hey, there is a God in Israel. So you see that the miracles that Moses worked were not coincidences. They were happening because of the assignments that he had in his hand. So you that is trusting God to use you mightily, what assignment do you have in your hand, sir? What are you doing? What are you doing? Who are you reaching out to? Which city are you getting? Which village are you entering? Which village are you entering? What about generation? Is evangelism time? You don't show up. And apart from generation and evangelism, there are some of you that the Lord said to me, he's giving people special assignments. There are some of you who ask you to start going to hospital every week. Now you refuse to go. And once we say, here and nothing is coming, you raise your hand. Okay, bring down your hand. Because nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change. Are you following me, friends? Every miracle you see that Moses walked, there is a god called, there are five gods or so in Israel, in Egypt then, known as, they were known as the sun gods. Gods like Ra, like Aten, like Atum, like Horus, all those gods controlled the sun. They were known as the sun gods. There's another god called Thoth, known as the moon god. These gods are believed to control the sun and the moon. That's light. So when Moses brought darkness upon Israel, upon Egypt, it was to show them that your gods are powerless. So I can imagine Pharaoh sending for the god instead of the sun. He said, why is there darkness? He says, sir, we are doing our best. But it's not working. If you will pick up where God is sending you to, God will humble the gods that are there. Yeah, it's as simple as that. He will humble the gods that are there. He will humble. That's why a Christian missionary must not run away from problem. When you see challenges, be expected. It's a time for signs to manifest. Now, what I'm saying in a nutshell this morning is that every one of you can actually work miracles if you will pick up the assignment that God is giving you. I'm just telling you the truth. I understand. I train people. I told you there is a training Moses got from working in Jethro's house. But that training was not for the supernatural. That training was to teach him on leadership. Teach him leadership. Teach him how to control, how to shepherd the whatever. But that's where we need training. We need logistics. We need to learn how to do ministry. Know how to... I get any point. But you see, for signs and wonders, it's for goers. How many of you have ever ministered to someone that was deaf and the person began to hear? Let me see your hand. Raise your hand very, very well. Very well. Or have you ever prayed for a blind person and the person began to see? Raise your hand very, very well. Okay. Or have you ever prayed for someone that had an issue on his leg and began to walk?
How many of you did this happen in your bedroom? In your bedroom. Inside your bedroom. Bedroom. Parlor. Classroom. Now, it is when you are involved in what God has given you, that's when there will be signs. For instance, next year now, the number of miracles you are going to hear in this ministry will shock you. You know why? We are about to hit the street further. When you hear me talk about crusade, what do you think they do in crusade? I think it's Bible study. That's where, because we're going to get to deep places and gather the sick, gather the hungry, gather the oppressed. Then you see God move. You see God move. A man trusting God to be used mightily by him must know how to say yes to God's assignment. Yes to God's assignment. Yes to God's assignment. When he says we are going left, yes sir. When he says we are going right, yes. It is in those movements that I begin to see power. So our generation has less miracles than the previous generation because we have less goers. But how many people are on the streets going? I'm not talking about going to share handbill. We share handbill quite all right. But that's not what I'm saying. I mean really, really going. Get into the street. Put your hands on the sick. Put your hand on the blind. Put your hand on the deaf. Put your hand on mad people. Follow me this morning. So every miracle of God in Egypt, because all those signs you saw in Egypt, it was because God was trying to deal with something that has held the land bondage. So Pharaoh gave in after all the gods that he had in his land had been defeated. There was no other backing. So he gave in. So before we proceed this morning, I will ask you, will you go for God? Will you take up your assignment? Will you take up your assignment? Will you organize that meeting in your street? Will you organize that meeting in your school? Will you gather those people in your locality? Will you go for God? Will you begin to reach out to those guys in your environment? Those Muslims in your environment? Will you begin to talk to them? Now there's somebody I'm talking to. You live in a place surrounded by some of these, I see Muslims there. Most of them are not educated. And God has been put into your heart to trust him for money. And you go with handouts. Not one, you know, I'm not talking about, it's not handouts that they print in school. I mean, food packs and stuff like that. And go give them and gather them. I begin to talk to them. Some of you have been having that leading. Please respond to that. It's God talking to you. That's where you will see mighty miracles. Mighty workings. Mighty workings. But you just gather them. Just today I give them packs of rice. But that's ministry. But it's not just for show. After everything you gather them and say, let's talk this evening. And they will come around. I begin to share the word with them. You begin to share the word with them. You come back again tomorrow. You come back again tomorrow. And they begin to get saved. You begin to disciple them. You begin to get them to church. You must go. That's why if you don't go, you will never be a man of signs and wonders. So what changed Moses in that burning bush was not that he fell under anointing. It was that God gave him a revelation and God gave him an assignment. And he accepted the assignment. When he accepted the assignment, the signs now followed. If after that burning bush, Moses said, I'm not going. Moses would not leave that place a miracle worker. He wouldn't. So actually, somebody can become a miracle worker in an instant. Actually, that's what I'm trying to show you. That's what happened to Moses. No levels to cross in that instant. Why? He took an assignment. He went. But some of us, when the Lord sends us, we have our excuses. Well, Moses had excuses too. I'm going to get to that very shortly. But you must go. You must open your heart to this assignment that God is giving you. I'm just hoping that God is sending you to difficult lands, difficult environments. But you know, no land is tough. No land is tough. Even if a land is tough, it gets more interesting. Because remember, Moses had those signs because of the issue at hand. Because of the gods. Who will go for the Lord? Who will go to the remote areas in your city. Who will go to the remote part of Lagos. Who will go under the bridge for the Lord. Who will go to those ghettos for him. That's where you are going to see. Because some of you, there are assignments that God is putting in your hand. It's been very tough, strong in your spirit. And some of you will hear them further today. It's in the going that signs will follow. Signs don't follow people who just sit. So you find that by the time you get to most of these are big cities, we call them, that have big churches, what you hear in most of those places are just motivational talks. Because that is the only thing they're thinking about. You know, strategies to expanding your business in 2026. You just position and expand it. You know, let me say this to you. Never go to meet God's people or the people that God is sending you to with only English. You know the problem, and I'm not saying this to mock anybody. I stay some of those ministries that are teaching expanding your business, and I can tell you 8% of people that are demon possessed, and none of them have been delivered. Yes, there is need for power. Are you following what I'm talking about? Heavily demon possessed, none is delivered. Because I'm just giving advice. If you want to see signs following, go for the Lord. Don't go to speak English. Go for the Lord. There are some of you that have missions to do in this December. You will see the kind of miracles. Have you not observed that if you've ever gone on missions here, which you're going to have, Light Up is coming back next year. What about Light Up missions come back next year? I've not observed, it is in those missions that you see bigger miracles. Actually. I've kept explaining to you, do you know why I'm a pastor? I have more testimonies of miracles than you. It is not necessarily because I'm anointed than you. It is because I'm always in the work. There's always someone calling me saying, I need a job. Someone calling me, I need this. So there's always need for me to do those things. If you also keep yourself in a place where there's always need. If you are in a place where our church is not domiciled, it's not really very strong, please stand to your feet. I want to talk to you. You are in an area, you live in a place where our church is not really existing, but you're part of the church. Stand to your feet. I want to talk to you. Because some of you need to hear me very well this morning. You can't get to those places and you just sit around. You've got to do something. If you don't begin to go and engage the men that are there, if you don't begin to take up an assignment for the Lord, you will not see how much God has brought your way. There is so much that your hands can do. There is so much that your hands can handle. Many of you, the Lord wants to use you actually to raise an entire community for Him in those places. You must go. And when you go to those difficult places. Now listen, if people will not understand English, use power. How do you do that? If there is nobody sick there, go by word of knowledge. Because that's actually how you break. Because all those places where the church is not domiciled, and some of them are in places where not only is our church not domiciled there, there are not many churches in those places. Some of them are places where there are not many strong churches in those places. Some of them are in places where the churches there are just, I'm not talking about any church, right? But are just ceremonial meetings. You can't just sit down there doing nothing. You have to go. Some of you are best positioned for miracles. Best positioned. Best positioned. Find a sick person and put us on the person. Find a demon possessed person and drive that devil out. When there is someone I'm talking to, you observe that in your area, not only are there many mad people in those areas, young people keep getting mad in your environment. Some of you have noticed that in your particular, just around you. You hear this person, what's this guy we saw? He's not even mad. You have to go. You know, 3-4 years ago, the Lord spoke to me. Some of you remember I said this about ministering to drug addicts. I told you that, Abby. When I came to this place, the Lord said, this is one reason why I brought you here. So, Enugu Church, we must go. All the nooks and crannies of this place. Are you following what I'm saying? All this environment will be won to the Lord by His mighty hand. I'm talking about a sweep. Are you following me? A total sweep. Because we are a, listen to this, we are an exciting church. So if we love ourselves too much, if we sit down here and have service, we'll be fine. But we'll not see anything. Do you know, at this point, if I call for people who are sick to come out, I'm talking to you about going. If I say, if you are sick, come out here, I can almost tell you there will not be up to 20 people out here. Because the few that we are sick got it yesterday. So when you say there are no healings in our church, because there are no sick people in your church. He said, why is the blind not sitting in our church? Is anybody blind here? So you actually cannot see a blind man see by staying inside your church. It's not because there are no blind. Is there any blind person here? Are you blind? Is there anybody who cannot walk? Is there anybody who? What else? Is there any dumb person here? But there are dumb people in the world. There are blind men in the world. In here, they are not here. They are out there. Do you know why? Please sit. Let me say this. Do you know why? I know I asked you guys to stand. And I'm still talking to people. I'm just saying sit so that you can rest. But do you know why? Do you observe? Philip was just known as a man who shared food. Immediately he entered Samaria, he became a miracle worker. Why? Do you think there was a new anointing that came upon him? No. Hands were laid on him in Acts chapter 6. He didn't work no miracle to enter Samaria in Acts chapter 8. Because it's in the field. Are you following what I'm saying now? It's in the field that you find have that is need for miracles. And you observe, Moses had challenges. Had challenges. He had things he felt were limitations. I want to say to you before I close today, whatever challenge you think you have, whatever limitation you think, whatever reason you think, there's a reason why you cannot go. God has an answer for the limitation. Moses gave about 4 complaints. And one thing that interested me that for every of the complaints, God responded to him. In Moses, in Exodus 3 verse 11 and 12, he told God, who am I? I'm not good enough to go and deliver Israel. And there are people like that talking to me. I'm not good enough. Give me Exodus 3 verse 11. Read it, everybody. He said, who am I that I'll be the one to be sent to these guys? Who am I? And in Exodus 3, verse 11. Let's read it together, everybody. So he said, who am I? And people asking, like, why is he me? A small boy like me, our God we use. To go and do what? Why are there not other people? If you ever feel not good enough, the answer God gave to Moses is your answer. Verse 12, what was the answer? I will be with you. So that I will be with you came as a way to tell Moses, you might be small, you might be negligible, but you are not alone. If anybody here is feeling I'm not good enough, I can't do this, the answer that God has for you is his divine presence. I will go with you. I will go with you. Even if you're the only one standing, I will go with you. Always normalize saying, we have come. When they say we, I thought it's only you. Say, yes, me and God. Because I'm never alone. I said, I'm never alone. So the answer to that brother listening to me this morning, feeling that he's not good enough for the job, is that God is saying, I will be with you. Moses, I know you don't know so much. I know that yesterday you just finished offering your sacrifice to the idol of your father-in-law in Midian. I know you don't know much. But if you accept this assignment, I will be with you. So there is a promise of divine guidance or divine presence. I will be with you. So Moses' first complaint was, I'm not good enough. And God said, I will be with you. Then Moses' second complaint was, okay, fine, I know you've been, I don't know your name. He said, I am. My name is I am. For every complaint he gave, God gave him an answer. You know, God is not God epakerate shanda. God wants to tackle all the challenges in your mind. So that you have no excuse. So what is your own excuse? So when he says, okay, you're even sending me. You know, Moses sounded like some of us. He has sending me to come to ministry. I don't know Bible too much. I don't even know how to explain John 3:16. I don't even understand Bible. I've never finished understanding for myself. So God, to even start with God, I don't even know you. How can you say I don't know you? I thought they said in our church that if you don't know the Lord enough, you cannot do much for him, because it is the might, it is the people that know their God that shall do mighty works. But I don't know you, Lord. He said, the least you need to know, just I am the I am. Is that all? Yes, I'm the I am. Just go. You know what that tells you? If you didn't want to know God, you will know him. And what it tells you again is that that little that you know about God is enough to shake up the land. Yes, you should still be growing on your own, but the little you know about God is enough to take your city. And I said this yesterday, and that's not to insult anybody. Most of the people we call God's generals that did mighty things for God don't have knowledge like we have. Because you don't need all those knowledge to shake up your land. All Moses knew is that the Lord is I am. And that he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So kill your excuses. Kill your complaints. I am is talking to you. Are you following me? Then Moses went further to say, my ministry will not be accepted. If I go, they will not accept me. The Lord said, well, put your hand in. So what did God do for him? When he said my ministry will not be accepted, God showed him possibilities in the anointing. He showed him how to work miracles. I'll teach on that tonight. Tonight I'm going to teach you how to work miracles. I've taught on that before, but that's a simple thing the Lord said I should emphasize tonight. That will change your life forever. Because I'm leaving here to come be a man of signs and wonders. But you must be going. You must be on your way. Be on your way. The era of social media should never replace going. So I can just tweet from my house. Don't do that. Don't do only that. Be on the go. Be on the go. Be on the go. So when he said, they will not accept my ministry, he said, fine, I will teach you signs. You know what that tells you? It is signs and wonders that make you followable. And finally Moses complained, okay, one last thing, Lord. He said, what? He said, I'm a stammerer. So Moses is like you. He had reasons why he didn't think he could go. He said, Lord, I stammer. So how can I meet Pharaoh? And I say, let my people go. I'm not going to do that. Pharaoh will not take me seriously. And God's response was very... But I mean, I have all those crazy excuses. Say, Lord, I cannot even talk. I can't even speak English. Once I speak English, my friends start laughing at me. And the problem is that there are even some of you, thank you, Lord Jesus, that God is sending to communities that you don't even speak their language. So you are saying to the Lord, how am I going to cope? These people don't understand their language. I don't know how to speak anything. How can I go? And the answer, that's God even got angry with him. God asked him a simple question, who made the tongue? The only meaning of that question, Moses, if you have any deficiency, ask me to fix it. I made your tongue. I could as well fix this matter. So what is that deficiency you think that is stopping you from going? He can fix it. He said, Lord, you are sending me to go. I'm not even eating. I'm very broke and hungry. He says, you can't do what? Who created silver and gold? Who owns the cattle on a thousand hill? Whatever limitation you think, because Moses had limitation, and this last one was valid. I'm a stammerer. Imagine I miss the elders of Israel and want to talk to them. I say, how are you people? They say, we are fine. The Lord, but you know the beautiful thing? I have people under me here who were, when they came here, they were stammerers. Yes. How many of you were once a stammerer before you became serious with the Lord? Yes, I know some of you. Pastor is a pastor. He stammers. But if you hear him preach, you won't believe. Because who made the tongue? Are you people I'm talking about? He said, I don't have money. This thing is what? He said, let me blow. He said, will I trek to nations? You're saying nations. Will I trek to nations? Who made silver and gold? But I showed me pictures that I should gather these people here and begin to give them food and give them clothes and begin to preach to them. I have only one trouser, sir. And I said, I should give them clothes. Who made all those things? So he thought, who made the tongue? That was Moses. If you actually wanted me to fix it, ask me and I'll fix it. Do you know the budget we have for next year for the crusades? We are looking at least 2 crusades next year. The budget for one of those crusades is way over 15 million. Where did we keep the money? Now the question, somebody would have said, "You are sending me to go and do crusade. Did you give me money? Did you give me money to go and do crusade? Don't be sending somebody on some assignment." That's the problem. Who made silver and gold? So I've learned the secret. And next question I wanted to ask Moses, if I was with Moses, do you think the Lord did not see that you were a stammerer when he sent you? You think he forgot? And I'm asking you, you think God did not know your bank accounts when he sent you? You think he doesn't know those challenges when he's sending you? He knows. He knows. So you're not the one to inform God that you are broke. You think he doesn't know you are broke? He knows your account. He even knows your future. He knows that even now they are packaging that is this same suit that you've worn for like four days now. You just brush it and wear it again. Now we may not know, but the Lord knows. I get what I'm talking about now. He knows that if we start throwing up competition, that you throw up Gary. Now he knows. I mean Gary, not the swallow this. Not the one you swallow, do. He knows. Are you following me now? He knows. He knows you borrowed the shoe. He knows you borrowed the clothes. He knows you borrowed the hair. He knows. He knows that even though you are talking in your shed, you've not had a job for like 3 months now. He knows. But if he knows all this and he's still sending you, why do you want to remind him? He said, who made the tongue? Who made the tongue? Who made silver and gold? Let the living water flow over my soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Come and take control.
Ooh, yes.
Of every situation that I draw.
As you are seated there, let's do one more time. Let the living water come and sing.
Let your living water flow over my soul.
all complain. Who made those things? What of my academics? Who made those things? Who made those things? They are complaining. They are complaining. Somebody said, Lord, I don't have this, I don't have that. I cannot talk. How can I get to Pharaoh? And I began to stammer. Wouldn't they laugh at me? Before I even finished saying, let my people go, he has pursued me. God said, oh, I understand. But who made those things? Say, Lord, what of my family? If I go now, how will my family cope? If I take up the assignments, what will... Come on. Who gave you a family in the first place? Who gave you a wife? Who gave you a husband? Who gave you children? You think he doesn't know all those things are there? There are some of you, the Lord said, I should meet you this afternoon. I've already announced that. Some of you already have, you have a passion in your heart to do something in the area of church planting. I'm going to see you after this meeting. If God has to put it out of your heart, you have to open your heart to it. He knows. He knows. He knows. When I was starting off a ministry, I asked the Lord many questions. Lord, I'm just a graduate. He said, I know. Lord, I come from a poor family. He said, I know. Lord, I have to walk my siblings. I said, I know. He said, but I made all those things. He said, Lord, what of my family? How am I going to cope? Lord, do you know my rent is expiring in 2 months? So how am I going to pay the next one? And I'm not going to compromise the ministry. What am I going to do? He knows. You've got to open your heart to the call of God. And you know the next thing the Lord did for Moses? When Moses got fasting, God said, okay, it's fine. I'm going to give you Aaron to speak for you. In other words, even though I can fix your tongue, but you're not at the level where you can believe me to fix it, I'm going to give you Aaron. In other words, God does not want no excuse to your going. I get what I'm talking about. If not, I'll give you Aaron. Just to make sure that you go. Because the things I want to do with you are tied to that going. Now, the message this morning is, God is set to deal with anything you see as a challenge or as a hindrance. Yeah, that's the truth. Because for every single complaint that Moses raised, he answered. There was none that he told him, what kind of nonsense talk is that? He fixed everything. He said, they will not believe me. He said, let me teach you what to make you believe. He gave him signs. He said, Lord, that, he said, I'll teach you this. He said, Lord, I don't know your name. He said, my name is I am. He said, Lord, I'm too small to go. He said, I will go with you. Lord, I'm a stammerer. He said, I will give you Aaron. So there is no challenge you bring for the Lord. No, nothing is as a limitation that he doesn't want to attend to. You know what? He wants you to go. Your manifestation is in your going. It doesn't matter how long we stay in here, shouting, my hands, they heal, my ears, they see, and I'll be, my ears, they hear, my this one seeing the Holy Ghost. It's not going to happen until you open our hearts to what God is putting in our hearts. I want to wake you up. And before I close this one, I want to say to you, whatever challenge, whatever thing you think is a limitation, God can deal with it. And God wants to bring you to a point where you stop thinking limitation when he leads you. Because before he even leads you, he knows those things are there. You know, there are some of you that God is saying to you that in the next couple of months and years, he said, I will have you leave where you stay to travel to somewhere very far. And you will go there for the purpose of planting a work for me and working for me in that place. Some of you have given that leading in your heart and your spirit. And you've been asking questions, how do I go about it? I don't know anybody. I don't have visa. I don't know anybody. Getting a visa is hard. And even if I go there, how will I start coping? The Lord knows. Of every situation that has troubled my mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, my Jesus, Lord. To you, I
owe. Someone here is sick. what I heard in my spirit of an embarrassing sickness. And you've been thinking, how do I go? How do I carry this thing and go on this mat, on this journey? How do I do everything that God wants me to do with all this? Some of you are even saying, if I am broke, won't people say to me, let God work your life before you come to me? So Lord, I just want small money. The Lord has an answer to all your challenges. Just go. You will see signs following. You will see wonders following. Many of you, I see in the spirit, are sitting. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're like a volcano. You're sitting on a volcano. If you get up, there will be explosions. And the Lord spoke to me. I just remember that just right now. I had a vision, and the Lord said, this time talk about it. I said, a young lady, you are working in an office. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And that office, it looks like everything is good. People look from outside. They think you guys are working. But actually what is going on in that office is that you guys are being used and molested. So technically people are being paid to be abused. So that in the spirit. Hear what the Lord said. Stop saying to yourself, if I break out from this, if I leave this place, how will I cope? And I even heard in my spirit, some of you are being threatened. Somebody's being threatened. If you leave this place, we're going to deal with you. If you say what you know. But now God has told me. I saw it in the spirit. I told you about it. I told mom about this. I saw this last month, November. Early last month. Working in a place where people look from outside, they think you're actually working. You guys are working. But actually, the Lord let me see into your office. And because we are being molested, we are being dealt with. So you are being paid to be oppressed. And that thing has been holding. It's time to get up. And if you're like that, meet me after this service. And get up and get out of that place. Whatever money you're getting from that place, God has better plans for you. Because that's what is limiting your movement. That's what is limiting what God has to do with you. It's limiting it. You are in there, everybody thinks you are working. But you know you are not working. You know what you guys are doing. If I go to further details, because Lord showed me clear pictures. It's time to go. And that lady, the Lord is saying, I should tell you that when He helps you, you will help many. You will help many. You will help many. If you're like that, I'll see you after now. You should better see me. You will help many. You a man on an assignment, not a man to be oppressed. You're someone the Lord is sending. And there are many signs on the way. Listen to me. Some of you that, yes. Lagos brethren, Lagos, Abuja, some of you that are in very, even Enugu here, that are in very busy cities, and some of you are doing corporate jobs, and some of those jobs are very demanding. The Lord said, I should say to you, don't fall into the trap the devil has set for you. To get so busy and carried away with that work that you don't even have time to do what matters the most. Don't be a former miracle worker. Don't be a former evangelist. Don't be a one-time apostle. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. It is in that going. People are, some of you are even in other nations, from the UK and US and all of that. Don't get there and let the busyness of the work and all of that stop you from doing what they are meant to do. And I can tell you, many people who are in other nations, many of these big cities where there is, thank you Lord Jesus, where there is less time given to church, many of them are highly demon possessed. You will not understand because you think I'm just, but you, if you get into the work, you understand later. Some of those cities. Because it is very simple. Where there is less prayer, there is less angelic activity. Where there is less angelic activity, there is heightened demonic activity. It's a very simple principle. You see, then you begin to lay hands on people, you know that many of them are demon possessed. One of those people you are seeing, they just see you and they get angry suddenly for no reason. You are trying to come to them, you say, what did you do? It's a demon reacting. Next time it happens, just mutter under your breath. Say, brother, as I'm saying, brother, and the demon just get out of him. You see what's going to happen? I've done it many times. Everywhere you see rage for no reason, there's demonic presence. Some of you find that some of your bosses are demon possessed. You know what I'm saying? Some of your bosses. He says, talk to me. I don't know why I don't just like you. If I just see you, I hate you. They're dealing with the money cases. We are going to go for the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to go for the Lord. No challenge is big or strong enough to stop us. Going to go for the Lord. The Lord has sent me many times to places and things that I didn't know how to go about. After I studied Moses, I've learned how to stop complaining. Because listen to this, every wise father factors in every detail before he sends the child. You can't send your child to go to maybe which market now to buy something without checking. You have to check the transport. It happens in my house. Sometimes the people that stay with me, they come to me and say, Dad, we need to go to the market and buy this. Sometimes they say, I say, how much do you need? And they give me the figure. And I just start looking at them. I say, is that how much you really need? What of transport? What of this? They say, oh, Dad, we forgot this. Ah, I didn't know. Oh, transport is true. We need extra 2,000. Do you know, it's only a foolish father that would know that the money you need is not complete. I'll send you like that. So, God factors in all your challenges before he sends you. Even the one you forgot. Sometimes they forget. They just come to me and say, I said, how much did they say? Ah, we need 15,000. And I've seen what they want to buy. So, in my mind, I know they only calculated the money for buying the stuff. I say, won't you go? Will you fly to this? Oh, it's true. We are going to transport ourselves. Now, that's the responsibility of God. I get what I'm saying now. So you are not the one to tell God, but God, you know now, I have to go to somewhere, I have to eat, I have to pay bills. You think he doesn't know? You are reminding him. What kind of father do you think God is? Oh, my heart sings. My heart sings so. Oh.
Dancing the rhythm of your heart.
Doing some incredible things. Every season of my life has been marked with signs and wonders, because there has been no season of my life that I was not on the go doing something. There are certain jobs that when they come, you don't take them. And when they come, if you would take them, you have to negotiate something with them. Don't get so tied up doing what keeps you down, that there is no time for evangelism, there is no time to do the Lord's work, there is no time to lay hands on the sick, there is no time to cast out devils, there is no time at all. Before you know, you become like that knife that used to be sharp but has not been used for some time. You become blunt. Many of us have become blunt in the anointing. Some of us that used to be sharp are no longer sharp. Getting sharper in the anointing. And I tell you, I've told you, when I told you on lay hold, I told you why. I'm always walking. Do you remember that illustration I gave you about car batteries? You remember it? A car battery and a phone battery are not the same things. You see, when you're using your phone battery, the battery is running down. But that's not how the car battery functions. The car battery has an alternator. Once it's moving, it's being charged. I get what I'm saying now. Now, if you park your car battery, your car, for 2 weeks or 1 month, do you need to try to start again? It will not start. Are you aware? It won't start. It won't come out. You have to carry that battery. You have to find a way to jump start the car. And even after you jump start that car, it has not come on. No. You have to drive it for a very long time. If you jump start the car and drive it for like 3 minutes and park it, okay, you are stranded.
Meetings like these are meant to jumpstart us. But when it jumpstarts us, we don't just stay. You don't go home and say, let me rest. Go, start moving. Start moving. Start moving. Start doing ministry. Start putting hands on the sick. I'm not talking about in your room. Many of us are in our rooms hoping for our roommate to fall sick. And I shall not be sick in Jesus' name. So you will not use me to test your anointing. Get out there to the street. The believer who doesn't know how to use his leg to walk around is not ready for ministry. He must know how to go under hot sun, under the rain, whatever weather, with your suit, with your plain trousers, with your jean, whether you must be able to go. That's how you're going to see the results. Moses kept going to Pharaoh's house. He wasn't his house. I get the point. He kept going there. For every time he went, a miracle happened. How you feel what I'm saying now? For every time he went, a miracle happened. That's why I taught you, for instance, after we do prayer drive here, what do we do next? Evangelism. Immediately we are done with prayer drive, go to church, because all those power you generate in prayer will be used. If you go back up yourself after prayer, it will get to a time you become stale. I get sharper in the anointing because I'm always using my anointing. Yes. I get sharper in the healing gift. I get sharper in teaching. I'm always teaching. So when last did you lay hands on the sick? When last did you go to where God sent you? When last did God say, "Tarun where they're smoking, enter them now and preach"? He said, "Are you following me now? We'll get to places. Do you know why God, one day the Lord said to me, do you know why I keep sending more Nigerians to the US, to the UK, to Canada, all of that? He said, because many that I've sent, they failed. They went there, they got a job and they sat down. I said, doing the job. That's failure. I started sending money home. I started building duplex. I'm not saying that is bad, but that's what they achieved. That is failure. So if you have not seen dreams of traveling, know why God is sending you. Are you people I'm talking about at all? You cannot stay here in Nigeria to be seeing you. Don't go to a place where you'll be useless for God and His kingdom. Hallelujah. My spiritual father traveled to the UK for a vacation. They were actually meant to go to, they were going, actually going to Ireland also. Either Ireland or Canada, one of them, for the birth of their baby. Okay, they were going to go give birth. The last baby, mom was pregnant, all of that. And then they stopped over. The visa was taking time, and so they were waiting at the UK or so. They stayed there for 3 weeks to wait for the visa. But of course, it wasn't done. Eventually, they stayed in the UK and they gave birth in the UK. But those 3 weeks they stayed there, 2 churches started. You know what I'm saying? How many churches? 2 churches. That's a goa. He said, how did they do it? Simple. Since you're already here, every morning, evangelism. Then with all their people that are already here, every morning, evangelism. Every morning, every morning, every morning, every morning. Some people have said, I came here to rest, oh. I came for vacation, oh. Let's see places. London Bridge is falling down. Let me go and see it. And then after 3 weeks, they say, how was the UK? He say, the UK is okay. And tomorrow you say, Lord, I want to go to Jamaica. You're going nowhere. Well, the last one you went. Be a sendable man. Just tell your number, say, be a sendable man. Be a sendable man. Let the devil know that if he lets you in an environment for 3 days, there's going to be trouble. What do you think Paul meant by we wanted to come to you, but the devil hindered us? There are people that the devil does not hinder to go anywhere. Are you what I'm saying now? Yeah. Yeah, the devil withstood us. There are people, if they want to go, go to Satan, let him even come. He is a sendable man that God knows. After the birth of our baby and all that, I think it was mom's birthday weekend. I was like, we spent 2 days. 2 days in, we went to a hotel, stayed for 2 days. Within those 2 days of resting, just celebrate our birthday, we got 2 people saved, 2 of the hotel staff. That's birthday. One of them saw me and said, you look at somebody. I said, yes, I look at somebody you know. I no longer say no. Anything that makes you talk to me, we are going to talk. Are you following what I'm saying now? Yes. So one of those days, you know, the other day, mom, she went for breakfast. I said, I'm not into all those breakfasting. So she went. While I didn't stay in, I was just at the reception waiting. And another lady, we started talking. It was a little before then I even found out. Well, you know the thing about it is, one of the ladies that was working there was part of our Ansoka church when she was in Ansoka. He said, that's my pastor and wife. I was at your wedding. Imagine. Imagine if I came there with my babe. One strange babe. The girl will look. See, this face looks familiar. I'll say it's not me. Be a man that God can send. That if you land anywhere coincidentally, then coincidentally something will change. That's where you are now set for miracles. We finished work here. Which was Wednesday night after we finished work. Finished very late. Around 11 or so. So when I left here, we need to get something for our baby. So we're looking for any pharmacy that was open. And we drove to one of the pharmacy that was open and all of that. Around 11, you know, not every pharmacy stays till that time, but there are some. As I was trying to buy from, you know, if you go to those pharmacies, they open a very small window for you. Make if you not carry them. So I was trying to negotiate. One man was standing beside me. And I kept trying to buy. The Lord kept saying, him. And when I couldn't hold it, I said, good evening, sir. How's everything? He said, I'm fine, sir. Maybe he knew, maybe he didn't know me. I said, what's the problem? That was just all I asked. He said, my son is in the hospital. My fourth son. This is the second surgery. They've not found the solution. Sir, please, help me. Now, I've not said, I just said, what's the problem? Be a man that God can prompt like that. And talk to. I'm telling you how I'm a man of miracles. So. That's just how. You don't stay in your room and you're inside your room. You're doing shamboro. Say, I'm full of power. I carry power. My hands, they heal. You know, come out. And your hands, they heal. And there's a mad person in front of your street. You pass him and say, in the Holy Ghost. So that I feel the devil even smiles at us when we're doing those things we're doing. He said, look at this one. For real, because I'm shouting, my hands, they heal in the Holy Ghost. There are many people around you. And all this, he said, Chai. Yeah. You know, when that man began to say, sir, please help me. I said, in my mind, I was like, do you know me from anywhere? He says, sir, help me. He just let me know. Many people are looking for help. They're looking for men that will be sent to them. I said, where do you know me? I didn't ask him. But I just felt it was the Holy Ghost moving at that point. I said what I could say to him, prayed for him, all that, collected his number. He said, we're going to reach out to you. I'm just remembering it now. But I've ministered to him anyway. So we're going to reach out to him. He said, we did the first surgery at Abuja. It didn't work. We came down to Enugu. They referred us again. Small boy. There are people like that. And you know the thing is that you have what it takes to help them. But you've never gone. You've never attempted to help. All you do is yeah. And then glory. That's all. I carry power. Many songs you sing in the body of Christ are useless. Because those songs don't amount, they don't translate to anything. I'm walking in power. Very good song. Very healthy song. But the person walking in power is being oppressed by the devil every night. He cannot even stand against the devil. He sees people around. So we don't really mean what we sing. You're a man of power, sir. But if you keep sitting like that place you are sitting now, nothing is going to change. I've had the joy of ministering to a lot of people just like that. I had an issue with one of these, I've told you guys, one of these MOT guys. These guys are whole people with road transport, all this traffic, whatever. I said, you are wrong. He said, I'm wrong. We kept arguing. And as we kept going and going and going, I just paused. And I said to him, how is your wife? He said, what do you mean? He said, she's not in the hospital. He said, yes. He's like, you're a prophet. I said, yes, you're actually holding me. You don't want me to help you. Are you what I'm saying? Yes, it's a normal thing. He said, we've been in the hospital. He said, not only my wife, my son too. Been at UMTH for long. That's why I'm even doing all of this. I want people to raise money to go and. I say, you hold the wrong person. You're holding your miracle. I didn't say it like this, but I'm joking. But I said, can I pray for you? He said, yes, please. So there are a lot of things. They're not in your room. That's what I'm saying now. Miracles are not in your room. There are just few miracles in your room. Maybe one day your child is sick or your brother is sick. And look at the problem. When your child or your brother falls sick, you've not mastered healing. You will struggle. If you've been on the street doing many miracles and many healings, your child falls sick, it will be yet another experience. Are you following what I'm saying now? Yet another experience. Nothing, you know, let me tell you, everybody I've seen, I'll close with this and I'm going to say to you. Some of you know Archbishop Peter Osa's story. The same story. The pastor said in church that God can, you know that story, that God can raise the dead. He just said it in church. He read that scripture. And the Archbishop met the pastor after the service and said, did you say God can raise the dead? He said, yes. I said, are you sure? He said, have you raised the dead? The pastor said, no. He said, but can I do it? The pastor said, yes. He carried his bicycle and he went from place to place, from house to house, asking one simple question. Is there any dead person here? And they would say, idiot, get out of this place. Your own father that would die. He went like that, till he found a place where somebody died. He was not even a pastor. He was just a member in the church. And he prayed and the girl came back to life. That was where the wife first, because when he watched the documentary, the wife was, when he said everybody should leave the room, the wife was the one that stood at the door peeping in and witnessed the whole thing first hand. I'm not saying that's why he married her. I'm just saying. But everybody's like that. I heard the way he shared the story. He said, I've heard it many times. He went to a meeting, God saved as an 11-year-old boy. God filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus appeared to him as an 11-year-old boy. He went back to hostel, secondary school hostel, the next week and started a fellowship in the school. Immediately. I'm telling you how people, so from that time, it just once they started following, before you know the whole junior students, before you know the whole school, before you know, he ministered, the vice principal also got healed of something. A junior student became a school-wide thing. So if you do not take steps to do what God has committed to your hands, there, I'm not talking about the calling. I'm called to be a pastor. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about assignments. Different things they will ask you to. I get what I'm saying. I'm talking about I'm called to be an apostle. Some of you say, I have a pastoral calling. When my time comes, okay, your time has come. It has come in those assignments that God is giving you. Go preach there. Go do that crusade. Just organize a small meeting here. Talk to these five people. Because of God will tell you in the next 10 days, keep going to that room to preach. He's not following me this morning at all. Every day you just appear, they say he has come again. He says, yes, I've come again. And if you will yield to this, we're going to see an outbreak of miracles and the supernatural. But not many people will. But I hope you are one of them. I'm a man of signs and wonders. You want to shout that? I'm a man of signs and wonders. So Moses had an encounter that changed him forever. Simple things. Some simple things. God just told him, I will be with you. Then told him, I am the I am. Then told him, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then said, I have an assignment for you. Then the other conversations was now Moses' argument. I'm not this. God said, I have an answer. I'm not. So God stayed there with him, which is what God is doing with you this morning. God stayed there with Moses until he came to a point where he accepted the assignment. God now said, you can go. Because it was at that time he accepted the assignment that was activated. So will you accept what God will ask you to do after this meeting? Tonight there will be many encounters. Some of you will receive assignments, directions. Will you accept what God will ask you to do? Will you accept where he will send you? And how he will lead you? Some of your pastors will return home next Sunday and begin to announce big, big visions. Big, big things. Will you align yourself to them? But like I already said, from next year, Light Up is coming back. We'll have many special missions next year. Many special missions. Some of them to difficult places. Every day I would drive through this place, it's very building, and I see all these guys around. I always say, that's our member. That's our member. I know. And the kind of work the Lord will do in the hearts of the people here will not just be to save them. It will be it's salvation and a total transformation. Mind shift. I feel I'm saying we will get in with the power of God. So God is talking to us about signs and wonders, but it's not for people who have to go forth. You know, for like 3 Sundays I've been talking about this. When I was teaching on lay hold, I was speaking in this direction. We must go. We must lay hold of the power of God is for goers. Remember I told you that Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came upon them and they began to speak. You must begin. If you don't begin, you will not see the move of God. They began. The Holy Ghost come upon them. Imagine if I wanted to. Some of you here don't pray in tongues. I'm telling you why you don't pray in tongues. Because when we pray for the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you lie down and start doing. Have you ever prayed for people like that? They will fall and they will scatter all the seed. They will not speak nothing. Because they don't know. You have to begin to speak. Want to be a man of miracles? You must begin to go. And begin to lay hands. Begin to lay hands. Some of you, the only times you prophesy. And I've told some of our church pastors. That's why you notice if you're in a good church, I don't always say give a word to your neighbor. Because that's what all of us are waiting for. What is taking about your neighbor? I'm beginning to say, nations are calling to you. The science hands has made stronger. That's the only thing. Is that the only time you prophesy? Is that the only time you know how to prophesy? You're just waiting for give it, you just want somebody. Oh God, the church is not your stage. The world is your parish. Give an every word. Ministry prospers in your hand. You're going to good places. That challenge is being met. Peace in the storm. They're just waiting for that moment. Because that's the only time you use your prophetic gift. What's happening on the street? The church is not your stage. The world is your parish. So notice, if some of you observed this year, it was a few times we helped believers with it like 3-4 times. It's good, we'll do much more later. But this was the reason. God just said for that time, we'll say, give an every word. Say, I don't know. But I see, okay. Carry that your seeing to the street. Don't you never say, pastor is talking to you. Tell the person. Say, show. I see by the spirit. Show. Is there something like a growth in your hand? He said, yes. He said, so it's only in church. You don't know that when we say give an every word in church, it is God, people being blessed, but 70% of what it is that we are training you. See, imagine we are training you all the time, and then the place you now want to manifest the training is still in training ground. We train you finish. You still want to use our training ground to practice. I wish we go forth. Start by preaching the gospel. You'll see men changed. You'll see miracles happen. Even food can multiply. He says, how can it happen? The day you will get into a family by 8 p.m., you are broke. They that are broke. And they have only one cup of garri, and there are seven. And they say, man of God, help us. That's the day you know that food can multiply. It's in the going. Because you don't have money. Because if you had money, you just bring that. You know, what helped Peter to raise the grave from Isaiah? He didn't have silver and gold. If he asked, if you have said, okay, silver, okay, you need money. But I can imagine Peter doing, okay. John, on me, he said nothing. You know, look at the man and say, silver and gold. But such as I have, that is such as I have, come on. I gave unto you. Use the anointing. Tonight there will be indelible marks, impartations that will change us, but you must use it after now. And let me close by saying, tomorrow I'm going to minister to needs some more. But just know that whatever thing you think is a challenge, God is aware. And He will take care of it. He will. He will. He will. I said He will. There is someone saying, the reason I don't, this evangelism is hard for me, is that when I stand for long, my eyes start turning me. So I can't even walk for a very long time. God will help you. The first problem is that you are hungry, but God will give you food. God is aware. We will go for the Lord. Raise your hands. I will go for the Lord. I'll walk signs and I'll walk wonders. There is a place for contending for the supernatural, but after the contending for the supernatural, you must go out there and use it. Let me give an example. I'll talk to church planters before I go now. You cannot successfully plant a church if you don't do the supernatural. It's not possible. Let me tell you, because people will not come. Satan will make sure people don't come. You will not, I'm just telling you. You will not successfully plant any church. Don't do supernatural. It won't happen. Let me tell you, I didn't start church planting by teaching. People follow you by power. You keep them by teaching. Did you understand what I said now? That's why I told you, for instance, it's not strange that God is telling us, for the next, from once we enter January, every Thursday in this place that I just came into, will be prophetic and healing services for almost 6 months. Are you getting what I'm talking about, friends? Yeah, that's how it works. They say, but I can just teach. Don't the church doesn't start by teaching. People come by power. You establish them by teaching. You establish them by teaching. How did Jesus get Peter and Peter to follow him? He multiplied this. He made him catch fish. Peter now said, Jesus Christ. He now said, follow me. He said, why not? I'm telling you. When Philip called Nathanael, one of them called the other. And Jesus said, oh, behold an Israelite in whom there is no guile. I saw you under that tree. He said, wow, you are the Messiah. He said, let's go. When he met the woman, the Samaritan woman by the well, he said, can I call your husband? He said, you're right, you have five husbands. He said, hey. He said, follow me. He said, why not? I'm telling you a very big secret too. It takes power to break new grounds. So church planters must equip their hands with the supernatural. I see somebody ministering, and somebody had a vision where you are ministering to a woman that had a tumor in her stomach, and you put us on that stomach and the stomach lessened. Somebody had that vision. Tonight I'm going to minister to you. If you had a person, I'm going to minister to you tonight. Because that thing will happen many, many times in your ministry. But at least you have to go and meet a woman that has tumor in her stomach. Because that woman is not in your bedroom. She's on the street. Are you willing to go? Lift your hands, let's pray the Holy Ghost in this place.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.